What's next for Venezuela?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. There is an emergency meeting being held today in Lima, Peru. Several South American presidents will be there to discuss the disputed election of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. Maduro is going to be sworn in tomorrow, but the results of the election are being disputed. For more on this and the economic consequences, we're joined by Stephen Keppel, economics editor at Univision News. He is with us from Miami. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Great to be here.
Well, great to have you. And I first want to ask you how Nicolas Maduro is different from Hugo Chavez.
Nicolas Maduro is no Hugo Chavez. He doesn't have the same charisma of Chavez. His government, if it goes forward, won't have the same money that Chavez has.
And if indeed it is a razor-thin victory for him, it's going to be hard for him to carry out economic reforms in Venezuela.
Exactly. And this will make it hard for Maduro to impose big economic plans or to increase the sort of socialization or nationalization of the economy. It will also make it harder to make bold changes within his party platform because he won't have as much support within his socialist party.
And give us a sense of what's needed economically in Venezuela right now.
The Venezuelan economy is a mess right now. I mean, we have inflation that's around 30%. There are rampant food shortages. The government is running out of money. They've spent a lot in two election campaigns in the past few months. The oil prices are lower than what they were. The government will have to make some reforms probably to the currency, but they're going to need some, you know, the political will to do this. And normally, Hugo Chavez would rely on his own charisma and basically oil money to spread around and kind of patch up some of these holes. Maduro won't have the same ability.
Well, you mentioned oil. What's the impact going to be, if it is Maduro, on the global oil markets?
If the worst possible outcome happens, which would be that both sides kind of meet on the streets and there's a lot of violence and it escalates, that would probably send some shocks to the oil market. We would see some price fluctuations. At the moment, I think a lot of investors are just taking a step back and waiting to see what happens.
What about Venezuela's place in Latin America as a major economic power? It has been during the rule of Hugo Chavez. Is it going to be that way now with Maduro if it's him?
Yeah, Chavez supported a number of countries in Latin America, particularly Cuba and some countries in Central America. I definitely think that that's going to decline under a Maduro presidency, partly because he doesn't have the same relationships, but also because his government won't have the same resources, financial and oil resources, that Chavez had. So we're already seeing some countries, particularly Cuba, you know, trying to make some reforms, trying to plan for life without Chavez.
Stephen Keppel, economics editor with Univision News. Thanks, as always.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Well, we will get a look at quarterly earnings this morning from the rail giant Union Pacific. Rail shipments have seen modest growth so far this year. And as Peter O'Dowd reports, the success of big companies like Union Pacific can give some clues about what sectors of the economy are doing well.
When you load a hypothetical train with cargo, you have to start with coal. In 2011, it made up 43% of all U.S. rail freight. Ed Hamburger of the Association of American Railroads says not anymore.
Coal shipment is down dramatically.
He blames the crash on environmental regulations and competition from cheap natural gas. So rail companies are adapting. Paige Siplon runs the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics.
Sand and oil and water from the fracking industry and all the products that are associated with it has become a new market for them.
And don't forget building supplies. There's more lumber on American trains thanks to the improved housing market. Supply chain expert Mary Holcomb says the automotive industry is also speeding up.
And that's another staple and really a mainstay for the railroads.
Car shipments will not close the coal gap completely, but they're up 21% this quarter compared to the same time 2 years ago. I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
Now, a correction from yesterday's broadcast. In our story about China's food supply, we misstated the type of cancer that killed Zhang Runchang. It was uterine cancer. Also, in our story about music sales, we said the cost of Pandora One is $36 a month. It is, in fact, $36 a year. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down more than 1% in Tokyo, up 0.4% in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 138 points to close at 14,618.
you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Today, a new kind of library is launching. It's called the Digital Public Library of America. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott explains.
To see some of the nearly 2.5 million archival materials going online today, you once would have had to go to a special collections room at a research library and don a pair of white cotton gloves. As of today, just type dp.la into your browser.
For the first time, ordinary people will be able to actually see material that had been kept behind closed doors and out of reach of the public.
That's Robert Darnton, university librarian at Harvard. Its contributions to the digital library include the first daguerreotypes of the moon and scores from Mozart and Schubert. Some librarians worry the new library could hurt traditional ones. Maureen Sullivan is president of the American Library Association.
We in the library field have to help the funders and decision makers understand that this is an enhancement and not a replacement for today's library.
Which, she says, offers programs and services and an atmosphere you can't get online. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, it appears one of the most common terms in real estate may be on the way out. Master bedroom is being replaced by owner's bedroom or owner's suite. That's according to the Washington Business Journal. I can't wait to find out what they call the butler's pantry in the future. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.